At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Hey, wake up! New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
So you're saying I'm a bad texter.
Listen,
let's just get it out in the open. Our listeners deserve to know.
I could send you screenshots, but I'm not gonna.
Because you don't have them?
Because I do definitely have them.
Daisy Marie.
I mean, I could show you the number of times I asked for the lawyer's information and the editor's information and other things.
Can I get it to you, though, eventually?
Finally, you got Jeff to me, but Eric I had to get from Joey.
Guess what Joey doesn't have? 3 podcasts. A child and a
listen,
home.
I'm not faulting you. I'm just saying the reason I
Daisy,
didn't ask
shut
you.
Shut the fuck up. Hi everyone, welcome to Shut the Fuck Up, Nick Lachey. My name is Ellen Marsh, and across from me was my former friend Daisy Elizabeth Marie Jessica Prudence. Egan.
Wow. Prudence. That's a nice one.
That always reminds me, we covered this show called Pink Collar Crimes,
mm-hmm.
and this woman stole a bunch of money to live in an area of Brooklyn so that her daughter could go to the good public school.
Good for her.
And her name was Prudence.
Good for her. I don't know how my parents got me into the school that was out of our district. I will never know, but it's like, now it's one of the best schools in Brooklyn.
It's a thing.
Yeah.
When I was in high school, my girlfriend, Katsi, her front of her house was in Oakland, and the back of her house was in Piedmont, and her parents stuck the mailbox on the back of her house.
Fuck yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know there was a woman who was arrested because she was living in her car?
Yeah. A lot of women.
I love it here. I love it here.
I love it. It's so great. You know what I do love? This show. We're on season 2, episode 6. I mean, if you're starting here, that's weird, right?
Very weird, and that's on you. I don't think we need to, like, really go back and explain what the fuck's happening.
No, because, honestly, number 1, shut the fuck up.
Shut
number
the fuck up.
Number 2, start with number 1.
Number 2, see number 1. Number 1, see number 2. Go back to number 1.
I'm not here to hold your hand through life. I can barely put one foot in front of the other, and I don't even drink.
You can barely respond to a text. You don't have time.
Hello.
Hi, Amber. It's Ellen Marsh.
Oh, yes. I'm familiar with you.
Hi. I just had one quick question. You can answer with a yes or no, or you can elaborate up to how you're feeling. Do you think I'm a bad texter?
There's a long pause here. It feels very loaded.
Mm.
Are you a bad texter? I mean, when you want to text, you text a lot.
Do I leave you hanging?
You don't respond for hours.
Yeah, but I'm working.
Or days.
Yes, yeah, that's the thing. I don't think that makes it bad.
That's what I was saying.
Some people have their phones on constantly and they respond quickly. You're not one of those people. But then you will text at like 3 o'clock in the morning,
yeah,
and it will be close to gibberish.
Amber, I love you. You have been of no help to me. I talked about you in therapy today.
Uh-oh.
Oh, jeez.
Well, not in a bad way. I just said my friend Amber always says done is better than perfect.
Mm.
And then my therapist was like, how do you feel about that? I was like, well, I'm never going to do that. I literally was like, my friend Amber, she's a journalist. She's very smart, but I'm not going to do that.
I'm glad I'm so useless.
You're the best. Thank you, Amber. Go do other things.
Okay.
Bye. I don't think she was very helpful. Let's get to the episode, shall we?
All right, we're back to reality. It's 21 days to the wedding. We're in Natalie and Shane's corporate apartment. Natalie is like, this is crazy. It's our first apartment. She asks if he's excited, and he mumbles something. And Natalie tells Shane, but also probably the audience, that they had a conversation off camera and worked it all out.
I just wrote, where were the cameras?
Yeah, yeah.
You have one job, mm-hmm. and that's to get the conversations.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I don't know that the conversation happened, but she wants us to think.
Oh,
I mean,
really?
Who knows? But she's like, remember that conversation we had where we worked everything out? Remember that one?
Right.
That was a really good conversation. Okay.
This is where her upspeak is really starting to get on my nerves,
mm-hmm.
where she's like, I didn't know I was stubborn. And you told me that she has this sweet voice. She mm-hmm. has no aggression. She doesn't speak with glottals, but everything goes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know that was something I had to work on.
Yeah.
And Shane's like, I mean, you are stubborn.
You're like 100% stubborn.
He's like, you didn't know you were stubborn?
You didn't know?
And she's like, no, I didn't. But like you, he's like, no, I'm stubborn and you're stubborn. And then he goes, just promise you'll never leave me.
Yeah. Ooh, yay. What?
Listen, my dad said that so many times. The fuck if I know where that guy is?
You could say it till the cows come home.
Yeah.
And he says, I couldn't tell you you were stubborn because you would kill me. This woman's actually probably going to be arrested someday for murder.
Minimum assault.
Yeah.
With a weapon. Maybe yeah. not deadly, but it could be a salt shaker.
She's like, if we didn't argue, it would be too good to be true. I mean, maybe in a year, maybe like a year in.
She's like, we had a perfect time in Mexico, except that fight. And then they say something that gives me pause. Faloop-a-doop. It gives uh-huh. me pause. It gives me.
P-A-W-S. Pause.
Yeah, it gives me pause. She's like, you're my best friend.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever someone says that on this show, I immediately mm-hmm. create and manifest their best friend mm-hmm. in my head, being mm-hmm. like, huh?
What? I've known you since college. What
yeah,
the fuck?
They held their hair while they were puking at uh-huh. Sammy J's bachelorette party.
Yep.
Like pulled a tampon out of them when they were passed out.
Uh-huh.
Took them to Planned Parenthood for an STD. You know, like best friendship.
Yeah, yeah.
And then automatically getting, you know, like the, what do you call it when you, in soccer, where you, one guy goes in for the other guy. What do you call it when they,
gay sex?
No, Daisy. When they, you know, the one guy goes in for the other guy.
Oh, the old switcheroo.
No, it's not what it's called, but it's like boopity boop, 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 boop. Anyway, all of a sudden the best friend is like, what about me? No, that's the guy you fell in love with through a wall. And then he bounced his little pecker into your woodworking station.
Okay, maybe she doesn't have any friends. Maybe he really is her best friend. Maybe there isn't somebody watching going, WTF.
I don't know.
So now she's like, it's the real world. It's distractions. She wishes their wedding would come sooner. She tells Shane that he is everything she has ever wanted. That is all this guy needs. All he needs is for her to sometimes be like, I think you're great. That's it.
Have you ever seen a man that was completely sustained on words of affirmation and words of affirmation alone?
Well, and the cocaine.
Right, and the cocaine. I do kind of feel bad for him in this end scene, though, because he wants for the wedding,
yeah.
he wants a cape.
I want you to be happy. It's your day.
But I also want you to be happy, too. It's your day, too.
Okay, I want one thing. I want to wear a tux cape. That's all I ask.
Wait, what's a tux cape?
It'll give me the biggest wedding in the entire world. It's like the Lord from England. Like, they wore those, like, old school, like...
No, oh my God, no.
But it went past. It's like a trench coat kind of thing, but a tuxedo. That's all I want.
Listen, I am a relationship expert.
Yeah.
I know so many things.
Mm-hmm.
Does that sound good? No.
Mm-mm.
But let the people you love do the things that make them happy.
Yeah.
Who cares?
Yeah.
Let him have a cape.
Let him have a cape.
But you know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
pick
yeah,
your
yeah.
battles.
Yeah, and she's like, absolutely not.
Just let him have
yeah.
the cape.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
Also, at least he doesn't want to wear tuxedo capri pants. Like, a cape is a step up.
Right. Let him eat cape!
Let him wear cape!
Yeah, that's probably better.
So now we're with Deep Dee and Shake. Deep Dee says her mom is so excited because she manifested Shake.
Mm-mm. No.
Yuck.
Please no. Please
Yuck.
No. No, please.
No, please and thank
Don't
you.
Don't manifest people.
No.
Don't. That's a lot of pressure.
Also, if you're going to manifest somebody a lot better than this fucking jabroni.
Yeah.
Power up fall projects with Ego at Lowe's. Every tool delivers power beyond belief. So whether it's leaves, limbs, or lawn cleanup, count on EGO to deliver the power, performance, and innovation you need. And now for a limited time, save up to $60 on select blowers, chainsaws, and pole saws. Shop EGO today at Lowe's. Offers valid through 10-1 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
There's nothing more satisfying than finding the perfect green paint for your living room. Except maybe popping open that can of Valspar Ultra and rolling that first smooth stroke on the wall. And there's nothing more satisfying than admiring your freshly painted wall.
Ooh.
Except maybe peeling off the painter's tape to see those crisp edges. But the most satisfying part of all? Valspar Ultra's price tag, starting at $29.98 a gallon. Affordable, durable, available at Lowe's. Price varies by sheen.
So then they have a discussion about whether or not putting wasabi in your soy sauce is the correct thing to do. She apparently thinks that wasabi is a palate cleanser. Have you ever seen that episode of The Nanny where she's eating sushi with Mr. Sheffield's ex?
Mr. Sheffield. Yeah,
Mr. Sheffield.
Well, it turns out that Shake is right. I knew that too. Ginger is the palate cleanser.
Yeah.
And she's doubling down. And the prize that he gets for winning is that Deep D has to plan a date. And then she's like, yeah, but you're the man. You should plan a date. I was like, deep stump.
And also she says, you're supposed to pamper me. And he looks like he just smelled a fucking fart. Like,
yeah,
he doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, he is a twat taco. I can't stand him any longer.
He really is.
Honestly.
So now we're with Nick and Danielle. They're going to bed. And I guess she has her nighttime full beat on. Her contour is a little better.
She is in a full face. She has lashes. She has foundation. Wash your face. You want to talk about your anxiety? Talk about the way your skin can't breathe. If there is one thing you do for yourself every day, it is wash your makeup off your face.
Yeah. If I did that, I would wake up with head to toe zits.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. So he says they have a big couple of days coming up. They're going to meet family. They have to go back to work. And she says she's worried about her stupid brain and overthinking. And he very sweetly says, no, I like that about you. Does this woman ever let up? Do you think that there is a 5-minute period of time ever where she's not sabotaging everything?
This woman, I think more than any person, this is now our fourth season that we've covered. I think more than anything, even more than Chelsea, because Chelsea was just insatiably insecure. This woman is not well.
No.
I actually don't know how any medical professional was like, yeah, this woman should be on this fucking reality show. She's not well.
I said, how did she get approved to be on this show? Like, I get it. They want people who are going to make drama, but like, she needs to be on My Strange Obsession, and the obsession needs to be her fucking self and her insecurities.
Right. Because there are lots of people that I was like, you need therapy, not this show. But she's actually not well.
She is not well.
And I have to say, in this episode, I feel like Nick is doing his best.
Oh my God, poor Nick.
But he's not a medical professional. And so it's just a really awkward conversation. And she's like, what if I'm not married? He's like, what do you want me to say to that?
I know.
Do you want me to convince you to convince yourself to be ready to get married in 3 weeks? He's like, I don't know what to tell you.
I know. He just says like, well, promise me that if you have any hesitations, you'll tell me. He's asking her to communicate with him, which is wild because it'll come up later. The whole communication thing. Yeah. I feel so bad for Nick.
I mean, I feel bad for her too. Somebody should have said she doesn't belong here. This is past drama now. I'm like, can this woman be left alone? Because we already know, like, from, you know, the past, we already know that they're, like, not eating well. Like, they're not hydrated. They're not sleeping well. So now we know all of these things that we didn't know back in 2021 when we were watching it.
Uh-huh.
And now I'm like, well, this feels unethical.
I wrote the same exact thing. How did she get cleared for this show? And those people need to be fired.
Because it almost sounds scripted. The shit that is coming out of her mouth, the insecure, she's like, well, how do I even know you like the name Ellen?
Oh, boy.
What if you sit there hating my name and you see his face be like,
how do I do? What do I?
It just doesn't stop. It doesn't stop.
Yeah. It is fucking relentless. So now we're 19 days out. We visit Jerry at his definitely bachelor pad.
Oh, my God. That brown leather. Do they sell that? Like, is that like a dude starter pack? that like faux non-structured leather couch that they are like, hey, for the Bros of Starter Pack, you need number one, this leather couch. Number two, not enough toilet paper. So then you then have to use the coffee filters. Number three, no art on the walls. It's like you can put like Milton, Cole, Jerry TT, Kenneth. They all got the same starter pack.
They sure fucking did. They got the Brosif starter pack. It's that couch that, like, if you sit on it, you're never going to be able to get up again.
And in the summer, the back of your legs, no.
Mm-mm. You're going to get a yeast infection sitting on that thing.
Yeah.
So she lives in a studio. So this is where they're going to be living. Poor woman. This woman goes through every fucking nook and cranny of this man's house. She goes through every single cabinet. She goes through every single drawer. Mm-hmm. She goes through his fucking butthole. This woman checks every crevice of this man's apartment. He has a box on his dresser with his initials on it, and her fucking alarm bells start going off, and she's like, who's this from? Who gave you this? And he's like, an ex. And she is not happy.
No.
She is not happy he has a present from his ex on his dresser.
Prominently displayed. One of the only things in his room.
Yeah.
Ayanna says she doesn't believe in keeping gifts from exes. She thinks that's weird. What do you think?
I don't have that same issue. I mean, look, yes, the whole apartment is a shithole, and then he's got this one nice thing, but then that's probably why he didn't throw it out. He's like, this is the nicest thing I've ever had.
Yeah.
I don't care. You know what I mean?
Can I take you on a crazy story?
Please.
Do you remember my ex, the one who I had to go to court with for a year, not my ex-husband?
I never met, but I was,
But you know the story, right?
Vaguely.
For his opening night, he was in the Summer Spectacular at Radio City, and his birthday was in July, and the opening was at the end of June. So for his opening slash birthday, I bought him a new suit at Ted Baker.
Whoa.
We both loved Ted Baker. He looked great in it.
Did he wear it to court?
He wore it to court. He wore the suit to court.
Was that the only suit he owned?
I mean, I truly have no idea. I don't think so. But also, like, you could have worn, like, slacks and I mean, he auditioned all the time.
What do you think that was?
I truly have no idea. I can't put my mind in the mind of a crazy person. I can't do it or I'd be here all day.
Who has time? But the issue is, like, in a vacuum, having a gift from your ex, I don't think is a big deal. But Ayanna's starting to pick up on the fact that Jerry TT is definitely a fuckboy. So she has cause to be worried. And she tells us that she's seen how he is with Mallory. And she's a little concerned. She asks him if he has any pictures. And maybe I'm wrong, but I feel like she meant pictures of his. Like, do you have pictures of your exes?
I don't know. I could see that. I feel like Ayanna wouldn't say that to him, though.
Right.
I would secretly go and Google and Instagram her, but I don't think I would, like, show my cards like that. I would have already Googled and Instagrammed her before, like, at the airport coming back from Mexico. I'd be like, is Courtney with the OU or an O?
For me, it wasn't so much like she wanted to see it, but like, are you also keeping pictures? Have you not wiped your life of this person?
Got
I don't know.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So they look at pictures of him from eighth grade. Her ovaries absolutely fall out of her body. She's like, ah! And then they have a discussion about football. And he's like, seeing me in my uniform, are you rethinking letting our kids play football? And she's like, no, because of the concussions. And he's like, I'm fine.
And it was just like a collective, like everyone in the Netflix sphere was like,
are you?
You literally proposed to a woman with a bullshit ring after the first woman said no. But okay, yeah, you're fine.
Uh-huh, you're fine. So then he says, oh, we're really going to talk about this now in the year 2000. You brought it up, Jerry TTTT. You brought it up. So he's like, so can our kids play football? And she's like, oh, I don't know how I feel about that. And he's like, we're going to discuss this now? Excuse me, sir. You fucking brought it up, you twat bag.
Yeah, twat bag. Twat taco, twat bag. You can turn anything into a twat. Look at over there. That's my twat broom.
That's right.
Look at that. That's my twat pillowcase.
I'm sitting here at my twat desk.
Yeah, and you are a twat twat.
I am. So he's like, well, you said we should wait a year to talk about kids, but I think you're going to want to wait more than 3 years because I don't think you're ready. My clock is ticking. He's absolutely picking a fight with Ayanna. And she might have poked him a little bit by going through his stuff and telling him that he should throw shit out. But like, he's definitely picking a fight.
Yeah. And Then she says she's been doing a little bit of comparing between her and Mallory. I would be such a liar if I was like, that's unhealthy. It is unhealthy, but it's natural. We've all done it. What does she have? What is she this? It is so unproductive. But we're human and we're flawed and we are insecure. I get it. But I want to be like, girl,
don't do that.
You're better than all of them.
All of them.
Yeah.
She recognizes that she's not as financially stable as Mallory, and she wants to go get her master's, and doing that and having a kid at the same time is a lot. And she's right. But I also think that Jurititi is going to find any reason to get out of this at this point.
Yeah, Katie says in the chat, she's spiraling in the most relatable way. Yeah. It is. We've all done it. It's like eating McDonald's. You know it's bad for you, but it tastes good in the moment, and then you hate yourself afterwards.
Right, exactly. So now Kyle, who will not let it fucking rest, is going to meet Shayna's parents. This seems like a big leap. This is the first couple on this season that's going to meet the parents. And I'm like, this couple?
It is so weird. This whole thing is weird. Did they tell Kyle just to keep going? Is he on fizzy lifting drinks?
I was going to say maybe he's being drugged.
Something. He bumped into the ceiling, which now has to be washed.
Do you know that the fizzy lifting drink plot point of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory makes me so fucking upset?
Why?
Because it's true. They're not supposed to fucking drink the thing, and they went into the thing. Like, he shouldn't have done that. He and his grandpa should not have fucking done that. It makes me very upset.
So wait, yes, no, I agree. They broke the rules.
So you get nothing. You lose. Good day, sir.
But he gives back the everlasting gobstopper, which proves that he wasn't going to go and hand over the thing to the scary Slugworth.
I know. I just, like, every time I've seen that movie, that scene has made me so uncomfortable. And I finally realized that, like, I don't like it.
Honestly, you know Grandpa Joe is the real villain in the whole thing.
Explain.
Grandpa Joe.
Explain.
So you and those other three fucking people sat while the mom was like churning laundry and drinking cabbage water. But at the prospect of eating some fucking chocolate, you not only can walk, but you can do bell kicks. And you can dance around. Why don't you dance around and go make some money so that fucking Charlie Bucket's mom doesn't have to clean laundry in that steam closet all fucking night? And then he's got a paper route, and you four are just sitting in a fart box in the house, doing anything. So you could do something. And Grandma Georgina, what are you doing? You couldn't pick up some knitting sticks?
Knitting sticks. You're right.
You're just leaving Mrs. Bucket to go do everything? Y'all are eating cabbage water because you're lazy.
Yeah, you're right.
And then Grandpa Joe, oh, well, now the chocolate's involved.
You know, I never saw it that way.
Grandpa Joe's a con artist.
I don't know that I'll ever be able to watch that movie again.
He's a fucking con artist. He's a liar. I don't trust him for his life. Yeah, he stole the fizzy lifting drinks. I think he should have patted him down and see what else he stole.
Yeah,
because it was probably more.
Fuck that guy.
Yeah.
That guy's a twat grandpa.
What were we talking about?
So Shayna tells us in confessional that she still wants to be with Shane. But what can you do? She said yes to Kyle, so now she's got to try to make it work. She says she loves the way he makes her feel. Okay. And then she's basically like, my family needs to meet him and that'll help me decide. Because she knows her family's going to be like, absolutely not. No, no, no.
First of all, we see her family's house. It looks like a house in the Bronx. It has crystals everywhere. It is like part Game of Thrones, part tacky grandma's house. It's like a Home Goods on a picked over day.
Yes,
because everything looks like it. I've never even seen Game of Thrones, but that's what it looks like. There's like goblets.
It's funny that you bring up Home Goods, because I said that Shayna's mom is fully wearing a robe from TJ Maxx,
which she couldn't possibly get out of.
No,
she was like, hi, we have guests. I couldn't possibly get out of this kimono though. Thank you for coming over.
I think she thinks it's fashion because she's wearing khaki capris underneath and high-heeled sandals, so she thinks that robe is fashion. But I think her whole aesthetic is TJ Maxx Home Goods. So Shayna introduces Kyle to her family. Her brother Dane, I don't know who died and made him god, but he says, let me ask you something real. Why do you want to get married to my sister?
Also, you had the edited version?
Oh,
Oh, you need to. Yeah. He said, why do you want to marry my sister? And how are you going to make America great again? That's what he said.
Oh, I wish I had gotten that part.
You need the long form.
I guess I do. So Kyle makes a really, really funny joke. It's so funny. Mm-hmm. He's so funny. He says he wants to marry her so that no one else will.
That's so good.
It's so funny.
It's like he knows how to read a room.
That's the joke that's going to go over well with her brothers in Christ.
Also, I Googled this before I wrote this down because I wanted to make sure I wasn't being insensitive. Every one of these boys looks like they have a different dad. One guy's Italian. One guy is ginger.
You're right.
And one guy looks like a computer nerd who got lost in the neighborhood and he's just like sitting hacking shit. They're not adopted. I looked it up.
You're right. Shayna does not look like any of them. None of them look like each other. So Kyle is like, I would totally marry her. And the brothers are like, you are marrying her. And he's like, well, we're taking it one day at a time. And then Shane is like, I left him in Mexico. I left him. I like totally left him in Mexico. And he's like, yeah, she's not really good at communicating. And everyone is like, uh-huh, correct.
The silence is so awkward. Mm-hmm. I would want to go on a date with Mark and Jessica from season one rather than be in this room as an observer.
Mm-hmm.
That's how awkward I feel.
They're like, what do you do? He's like, I'm in construction. And the dad's question is, what's the tallest building you've ever worked on? Because that's important.
It's so weird.
Dane says, you do sports and stuff? These are all the very important questions that you want to ask the person who's potentially going to marry your loved one. And then they're like, what about the ring? So Shane is like, well, I wear it on my thumb. It was his mother's ring. Whatever the fuck. The mom finally has a word to say. She's like, oh, that's cute.
Hadn't said a word until then.
Not until then. She says, oh, so that shows that you're sincere. And he said he wasn't sure he was going to give it to anybody, but Shayna reminds him so much of his mom. So obviously he wants to marry her.
He's like, my mom is kind of a cunt and she's a little blind. She squints a lot.
So clearly you can tell Shayna wants somebody to point out how gross that is, but nobody's saying anything. Mm-mm. She's like looking around at everybody like, right, 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 right. Nobody, nobody, nobody. So then Dane will not shut the fuck up. And this is when he says,
I like the fact that you guys are awesome and we can hang out. That would be the best part, is just getting to like spend time together.
Yeah, man. If you like the outdoors and having fun, riding dirt bikes.
Yeah.
Being an American.
Yeah.
I would like to know if he thinks that is a hobby or a pastime.
Uh-huh.
Because being American, it's actually just your nationality.
Yeah, correct.
It's just where you were born.
Or your citizenship, correct.
Or your citizenship.
But it's a prerequisite for being Christian.
Right. Yeah, no, obviously.
Like, even if you don't live in America, if you're a Christian, you have to love being an American.
Right. Could you imagine being like, I love bowling. I also practice taxidermy. And my pastime is being American.
I love being American. It's my favorite thing about myself.
Myself, yeah.
So then Dane asks if he's a godly man. And Kyle says, I don't know what that is. And he seems genuinely confused.
Are you a godly man?
I don't know what that is.
You don't know God?
Yeah, it's a weird thing to say, are you a godly man? That is a strange thing, but like, you know what he's fucking saying. And the brother's like, do you believe in Christ our Savior?
Oh, God. I thought you said godly.
Yeah, do you believe in, you know, Christ our Savior?
Oh, no, I don't.
You know that she texted him and was like, ask a lot of God questions. Mm-hmm. Ask him what his favorite verse is in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get a tense music, Daisy.
We sure get the tense music. And then Shayna's mom says that she knows where all of her kids stand in their walk with God. And she knows where they're going to go when they die. And Kyle, again, really good at reading the room, says,
I do wonder, where do we go besides the ground?
It is so awful. And Mama Sharon was like, come here. I want to tell you something. She is like five Chablis in.
Yep.
And she's like, Shayna looks like a deer in headlights. And Kyle isn't the one. He is very nice, but he's not the one. Mm-mm. And you know Shayna's in the background. She's like, I don't give her my blessing.
She will not give her the blessing.
No.
So she's got another brother that looks like he's about to audition for Jesus Christ Superstar meets American Psycho. And he's like, when's the wedding? And This whole fucking thing is so uncomfortable. So now we're meeting Danielle's family. I mean, you cannot be more opposite from this family. Although the women in their Chablis.
Yeah,
for
buckle
sure.
The fuck up. Here we go.
So they are exuberant and they're energetic. And he tells us it's a really big deal meeting Danielle's family. He wants them to know how much he loves her and that his intentions are pure. And then in confessional, he's like, I love her. I love her. We are engaged and I love her. We are engaged. So we are getting married because I love her. This was the first time that I saw Ellen that he looked like he was absolutely being held hostage.
Right? We are engaged.
I love her.
We are engaged, which is stuff. We do love stuff.
Will you marry me? And now it's happening.
So the bubbly opens and it is not going to stop. I'm going to
sure
give you
won't.
A spoiler right now.
So Danielle's mom said she's really good at sensing people. And also she was a psychology major, which she knows can be scary.
Yeah.
How many years ago did you get a BA in psychology? We're fine.
She didn't study psychology. Yeah. She took some credits at like CCNY.
She's like, all right, don't be intimidated. But yeah, I did take Psych 101.
This woman is getting increasingly drunk as the day goes on. Mm-hmm. She's like, I know a lot.
I do.
I have good intuition.
Here's some things I know.
Here's the things I know.
I know that you are older than Danielle.
Yep.
I know that. I know that you are 36. And also you've never been married.
Yeah, you never been married, which is fine.
It's fine.
That is fine.
It's fine.
I just know it.
It's just a fact that I know.
And do I want it to work out? Yes. Do I think it will? No.
No.
What did I say? I don't know what I said.
Ellen, did you notice what was on the counter next to her when she was in her little confessional?
No.
I shit you not.
What?
It was a balloon animal.
I can't remember if I saw that or I'm making it happen after the fact. Was it yellow?
No, it was multicolored. But you remember there was a balloon
animal. The dildo balloon animals.
Yes.
Somebody in that family likes balloon animals.
Later in this scene, they are making balloon animals.
It must be a family thing. She was like, look, I can put balloons in my pussy and it comes out with a balloon animal.
I just hope that your pussy's not too tight because it will pop.
It will pop.
So then the stepdad says that he's getting hungry. So you women better make us some food while we go fishing.
Yeah.
I am not kidding you. That is what this man says with his whole face.
His whole chest, the entire neighborhood. He had a parade. We're going to go catch the fish.
We're not going to catch the fish that we're going to eat.
No.
I'm going to go fishing. You make me dinner.
Yep. No, it is truly no wonder why Danielle has the self-esteem issues that she does.
Oh, my God.
Because her mother is like, listen, you're a lot to handle.
You're a lot.
And you need someone who can handle you. You've got to be strong. She's a mess. She's a mess. And you need someone when things get tough, because she's tough. She's so tough.
Danielle looks like she wants to melt into the deck and disappear forever. This woman. So Nick finally catches a fish. Thank God. I think the wedding was hinging on that fact. It's about 5 inches long, but that's okay. Danielle's mom, whose name I clearly did not catch, has had way too many glasses of Chablis. And she says that Danielle jeopardizes all of her relationships, which, of course, we've already seen. She doesn't really need to announce it to everybody. The mom is like, she gets it from me. Because when I want my husband the most, I push him away.
That's what I do.
And so, Nick, you're going to have to fight. You're going to have to fight for this relationship.
And then, just when you think it can't get
any more uncomfortable.
Never challenge. Never put out a challenge.
Mm-mm.
They say,
it's like, if you do not have a healthy relationship, especially sexual.
Sex life is important. No.
It's not important. It's a necessity.
It is important.
It's an absolute necessity. Awesome.
I think she's got a younger sister who looks like maybe she's about 14 years old sitting here through this conversation. It makes me want to take scalding hot ice picks and just jab them into my ears as far as I possibly can.
Yeah. No. I don't want no.
Uh-uh.
No.
Uh-uh.
Rewind and no. And I don't know any family like this. I mean, I appreciate families that talk about sex openly,
sure.
But I know I don't like this. No one wants to talk about anal over canapes.
And then her brother asks how much they're fucking.
So how sexually active are you guys?
Yuck.
Even less appropriate.
Yuck.
The amount of information I need or want is zero about my brother's sex life. Although my brother did just text me this the other day. He says, I usually drop that you're a podcaster on my dates. It's helped me get laid and also gotten you new listeners. So thank you and you're welcome. And I said, right, but then when you ghost them, they'll get mad at me. And he said, yeah, but they won't remember to unsubscribe.
Well, at least he knows how it works.
Yeah.
So, it's really, it's the downloads and subscribers. So
right.
Danielle wants to disintegrate into thin air. And the younger one is like, well, I learned a lot about my family's sex life today. And then I shit my pants because this scene was so gross. So then Nick tells us in confessional that he was raised Catholic. And so this is all very unique, but this has nothing to do with whether or not you're Catholic. These people just don't have boundaries.
Right. Yeah. These people are just weird.
Like, you don't have to be Catholic to know to not have this conversation. It's just not a conversation that you should have. So he's like, my family is definitely more timid and reserved. And he really likes that her family is communicating, but he points out that they have no boundaries. And Danielle's like, well, our physical connection matches our emotional connection.
And then we just keep on going.
I can totally see Nick fitting into this family. He's not as social or quirky, which I think all of us are. But I'm not saying that in a bad way. I actually think he's really sincere, which is huge. Because Danielle has struggled with her looks and her weight and her insecurities. And I wanted somebody to love her for who she is and not what she looks like.
Mom.
Stop it.
No. Put the wine down. Put it down. Put it down.
Stop making balloon animals and stop doing the wine and stop saying this shit about your fucking daughter.
Because she's just, listen, I love her. She's not pretty.
She's not pretty.
And I she's not pretty. She's a little stupid. I just she's a lot.
And she used to be fat. I'm going to go ahead and say it. She used to be fat.
Of course this girl is all fucked up because you say this shit. If you're saying this shit on national TV,
Ooh. What
do you say behind closed doors?
You know she's the kind of mom who said things like, you'd be so pretty if you lost some weight.
Oh, my gosh. Did I ever tell you? I think I have said this before on the podcast. One of my best friends, Jill, told me that every time I wanted to say Lola was pretty, call her smart.
Yeah.
Did I ever tell you that story?
Mm-hmm.
Because I used to call her pretty all the time.
Yeah.
I know. You just
can't
help it.
I told my son last night, I was like, I don't understand how you're so gorgeous. Like, you're just the most gorgeous.
But could you imagine, like, saying any mean thing? Actually, you know what I had to stop doing? I realized very early on when I had a girl was not talk negatively about my body and, you know.
I try not to do that with Monty, too. It's hard. Yeah. It's really hard.
Yeah.
So now we're at Natalie's apartment. She tells us she's not nervous of Shane seeing her place.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm guessing before she even opens the door, I'm like, it's probably the most meticulous, cleanest, neatest apartment we've ever seen.
Just
in
like
the history
Crate
of time.
And Barrel store.
It does basically look like a staged apartment.
Yeah.
I feel like these days everyone's either like completely bland and sterile or there's like so many fucking plants you can't even walk through the apartment. Like there doesn't seem to be any middle ground.
Yeah. I know a lot of people with beige and grayish apartments. Mine is not.
I used to be very gray, like dark gray. Gray slates, that kind of stuff. And I'm really branching out of that era.
Mm-hmm. Great era for you.
She tells us for the millionth time how gorgeous Shane is, how hot he is. He's so hot. He's so gorgeous. I mean, there's a pot for every lid.
Then he says, what sort of music do you listen to?
In the shower.
And she says Taylor Swift, and she asks him, and he says Celine Dion, and she goes,
And he's like, no, I'm not kidding. I'll show you. It will change you. It'll change your life, brah. You're the last laying down.
It's all coming back to me now. The night of vengeance will end and now a flash is a blight.
What language was that?
Shane E's. For anyone who's in the chat who is a down bitch, what's my favorite part of that song? They'll get it.
Is it the key change?
Nope. The jingle bells.
Oh.
It's all coming back, and a jingle bell in the back.
There's a jingle. Where's the jingle bell?
Listen, it was one musician who was like, I better earn my fucking keep here. What can I do? I have these sleigh bells.
Hear me out for a second. What if, you know what? I'm just going to do it. I'm going to do it.
See how you think.
I'm going to see what you like. Is the bar, you know, the It's like, what is that? It's like fucking jingle bells, dude. Fucking jingle bells,
right? I just added a whole nother dimension to this fucking song, man. Now it's going to be number one. So even though Danielle said she wasn't worried what Shane was going to think about her because of her apartment, he points out that she has enough toilet paper for a family of four. And she instantly says she regrets bringing him there. He looks so gacked out in this scene. Like, he looks like he has done an entire eight ball before he showed up to this thing. So then they have a boring discussion about how big their apartment needs to be and then finances. And he's like, I spend all my money on food, which I totally relate.
Daisy?
Yeah.
He said he spends $2,000 a month on food. Is he classifying cocaine as food? $2,000 a month. That's $500 a week. What is that? $70 a day?
Maybe.
You're saying that like that's fine. I mean, not fine.
No, I don't think it's fine. I'm just saying maybe that's what he does. Maybe that's how he spends his money.
That is not okay. The number one way to save money is to eat in.
I know, but I love food so much.
If you want to have money when you're older, cook a meal, and you cook a lot. What are you talking about?
I do. No, I mean, these days I barely spend any money out because I am poor, but if I could, I would spend $2,000 a month on food. He's like, I don't do 401ks. I don't believe in 401ks. I like to take risks.
I don't believe in 401ks. Like, no one asked his opinion on the death penalty. Like, it's not a belief. You don't believe, like, you don't invest in them. I don't believe. Like, it's like he's talking about leprechauns. I don't believe in them. I just simply don't believe in them.
They don't exist. 401ks don't exist.
So weird.
She tells us that, like, her parents were very different from each other and they have a beautiful marriage. So it's going to work out well for them. So then they compliment each other on how smart they are. Their fucking bar is very low.
It's a Izzy Stacy light conversation because they're talking about finances. Yeah. And she says she really wants to put money into a house and she has the money. Mm-hmm. And she feels like because she has it, that's fine because her mom was the main breadwinner in the family. And that was totally fine. I was like, girl, don't do it.
No.
I was just thinking about it, girl. I'm not going to do it.
I mean, at least know where you fucking stand before you get into this. Yeah. At the very least. So now we're with Malvador and we're meeting his sisters, Daisy and Victoria. He tells us in confessional that he and Mallory have had a couple of difficult conversations, but he really loves her. And also, if he doesn't get his sister's blessings, he's not going to marry her.
It actually makes so much sense that he has two sisters and he's very close to them. That really explains a lot of Sal's personality to me, don't you think?
Oh, 100%.
Daisy and Victoria.
So the very first thing the sisters do is compliment the ring and they're like, ooh, we're blinded by it. And she's like, yeah, he did a good job. Come on, Mallory.
Mallory, put some oomph in it. Okay, put your back into it.
No, he did it really. No, it's nice. No, she did.
It's like when you're trying to make a point, like put your back into it.
And then he immediately is like, oh, no, I fucked up. I absolutely fucked up. I should have gotten her a yellow gold ring and I didn't. I fucked up. That's me. So the sisters want to know everything. What is it like in the pods? What are the conversations you had? Sal is like, it's the most intense therapy I've ever had. And then he mentions the drama of being interested in someone who someone else was already interested in. And Mallory's like, yeah, that happened to the both of us.
Did it?
No, it didn't.
I felt like Mallory didn't have to pick up all of what he was putting down and get into the specifics. Like, I felt like Sal was just trying to give like an overall view. Mm-hmm.
And she was like, oh, hold on, let me tell you. So there was this guy named Jerry.
Exactly.
T-T-T-T.
Yeah. And I wanted to put both of his balls in my mouth.
Both of them.
I just wrote, but why are you telling us this?
Totally. So the sisters feel assured and they can tell that Sal and Mallory have a really good connection. But Daisy is like, I don't know if they're ready to get married, which is absolutely fair because they're absolutely not. And then Victoria says that Sal is like Ferdinand the Bull, which doesn't really make any sense because the whole thing about Ferdinand is like he's big and giant and strong, but he loves flowers and he's gentle. But Sal definitely loves flowers and is definitely gentle, but nobody would be like, ooh, What a big, strong, strapping man you are.
Right. Yeah, I didn't really get that either. I mean, I guess just because he's like a dude. I don't know. He seems very mild to me.
Yeah.
Like he would seem like a guy that I would feel comfortable walking me to my car in a Target parking lot.
Yes.
Which, jokes on me, would probably be a serial killer.
You look so dependable and nice and not murdery.
Yeah.
Jokes on you. In confessional, Mallory tells us how important it was to get the sisters' approval. So she really feels like this is a big moment. And I don't know if you notice that every single time Mallory is talking, whether it's to other people or to the camera, she's like futzing with the fucking ring.
She's futzing with something. She also futzes with her hair a lot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, I do too. But like she futzes.
She's very uncomfortable. And it's also like any body language expert would be like, she wants that ring off of her finger.
Oh, yeah. Good call.
I think so. So now Nick and Danielle, oh my God.
Oh, my stars.
I think honestly, like we just have to play this scene in order to convey just how fucking off the rails this woman is. Because there's no way that we can tell you how off the rails it is because this is so fucking off the rails.
The whole thing is super fast, super uncomfortable, like everything's super intense. And it's tested us, but like, I think it's only made us stronger.
Yeah. We have all this stuff, like, going for us. But the one, this is so dumb, but, like, I want you to, like, know all my flaws. Like, I feel like that's the one thing where I talked to him. I was like,
I
know, but I'm like, I feel like he doesn't, like, fully acknowledge them.
What do you think are the things that are going to turn me off or change the way that I feel? Because here we are, and I'm still sure.
I was second guessing how you thought about me because you didn't want to talk about how much my family loved you. Like, that's a flaw. Like, I genuinely was like, I was second guessing your intentions. I was like, if he's walking into this car not as happy as I am, he's not here for the right reason. That's what I was thinking. And that's why I had to
say. So you think after three, four, five weeks, I'm not here.
Again, no, I don't. When I was so happy about how my family thought about you, I assumed that you would be as happy. And then the second.
Of course, I was happy.
No, but like you complained about your friends right away. And I was like, okay, so if all he wants to talk about is friends, does he actually like me for the right reasons?
There were things that popped up in the day yesterday with my family and with my friends that were hard. That were.
The day of meeting my family, where I was like really excited.
I know it was selfish to like bring it up when we had just met your family, but it was just on my mind. And I'm very sorry that I ruined what was, I know, a very important day to you and also me, because this matters to me. Mm-hmm. Like, if we're gonna get married in 2 weeks, I'm not fucking around.
I didn't think you were until after my family. Like, that was the only time that I thought maybe you were. Because in the moment, I thought that you were being fake.
Did you ever think the world doesn't revolve around, like, you?
The world revolved around me because I was excited about my family and you wanted to talk about your friends? Okay, yeah. I've dated people with narcissistic personalities before and I was just like, fuck.
Just because we were at your family's house yesterday doesn't mean that, like, I didn't have family texting me and friends texting me and not texting me and things going on.
So the world revolves around me because your friends were texting you while you were at my mom's. I don't understand that. I don't.
I'm
like,
just saying.
I don't fucking get that.
And like I said, I apologize to you today. It was wrong that I let that bubble up and ruin that moment on the way home yesterday. And I own that. And I'm sorry that I did that.
I was happy for one fucking day. One day. And you're going to be like, oh, the world revolves around you. Because I was happy that my family liked you. I'm fucking
that
sorry.
That has.
And if that's how you feel about me, then.
Okay.
That's fucked up.
I had things going on yesterday outside of your meeting your family, okay?
Sorry, but like the way that you're talking to me right now, I can't.
How can I see when the darkness blinds my eyes?
I can't do this right now.
He says it's been super fast and super intense and they've been tested, but they think they've come out stronger. And Danielle just Danielle's all over the whole fucking situation again.
Which, again, we miss a pivotal conversation, yes, or what seems to be a pivotal conversation. What was the conversation? They reference it 20 times.
I know. It sounds like, from what I could glean, it was probably just like he got a text from his friend saying like, hey, we're not ready. We don't want to meet Danielle. Or his parents were busy.
Or something.
Yeah. But Danielle has decided that this means that Nick doesn't love her.
Again, he is very understanding. He's like, I get that this is weird and hard for people to digest. And she says, I just want you to know all my flaws. And he's like, I know them.
We have talked about this.
We're fine. Stop. Is there something that I'm missing? Someone on our Patreon told me that an anxiety attack and a panic attack are two different things. And I looked it up and I found many, many different responses to that.
Oh.
Like, some people said they were the same. Some people said they're not the same. They're just caused by different things, but they have the same reaction in your body. So I don't know what I'm talking about. Whatever. But whatever happened in Mexico, he was right by your side.
Panic is just a colloquialism for anxiety.
I read like four articles because I don't remember what I said, but panic attacks are diagnostic, I think, where anxiety attacks aren't, but also they're the same thing. Anyway, someone on the Patreon said, so I don't know what I'm talking about.
I had an actual panic attack on Sunday.
Where?
I haven't had one in years, and I had an actual panic attack. At
where?
The fucking airport of all places.
Why?
Because my brain is broken. But I just...
But, like, what was happening? What was the situation?
It was, like, a confluence of a lot of shit in my life. Like, a lot of having to take care of people and just a lot of things. And it all sort of came down at me at once. And, like, I got the tunnel vision and I started hyperventilating and I thought I was going to vomit and I got really hot. And then my Aura Ring didn't notice it at all. My Aura Ring was like, you were very relaxed today, until this time at 6 o'clock at night when you were very stressed. And I was like, at 6 o'clock at night, I was sitting and having dinner with my family. I was like, what are you talking about? And they were like, oh, well, we don't know. And I was like, how did you not know that I was having an actual panic? Anyway, whatever. I had an actual panic attack. It was a fun time.
Well, basically, we don't know what happened, right? And she's like, well, I've dated people with narcissistic personalities.
Okay.
And he was like, all right. So we're talking about this fight that we didn't see.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, I'm so sorry I had other things going on. It doesn't mean I didn't enjoy your family or I didn't want to be with your family. And she's like, I can't do this right now. And walks away.
I mean, I have been neurotic in my life, but this woman is not well.
She has made up full scenarios in her mind.
So now we're 17 days out to the wedding. Deep D and Shake are in the car. Deep D tells us in confessional that she grew up in a very conservative household. She wasn't allowed to date until a certain age. She's very, very, very nervous about bringing Shake home. He's driving with his seat reclined in such a way that it looks like he's about to have a teeth cleaning.
Yeah.
I'm like, where is the road? He's literally like...
No, he is. It's like in like the 90s when it was like rolling down my body. Like, is that Snoop? Like, what is happening?
So apparently her last relationship was 6.5 years long and she never brought this man in to meet her family.
He was white, remember?
Yes.
Yeah.
So in confessional, Shake tells us that he wants a best friend. He wants someone he can spend the rest of his life with. But of course, we know that that's not true. He wants a tiny little fucking white hottie who he can carry on his fucking shoulders. So he hopes that he makes her proud. And I said he just has to not be himself. At all.
Pretty easy.
So now we meet Deep D's parents. Mama, I'm probably going to say this wrong. Gayatri? That can't be right. I mean, that's how it's spelled.
Emma, you take this one.
Gayatri and Papa Venkateswar.
Great. Good
that
job.
One I think I got right-ish. Mama Gayatri tells Shake that Deep D was always against arranged marriage. So she's really sort of surprised that this is how this has all worked out. He's like, our emotional connection was incredible, and I've never felt that way with anybody ever before. She understands him. And Mama Gayatri is like, yeah, she's beautiful inside and out. And she says that Deep D's honor and respect is now Shake's responsibility. And he's like, well, that's no problem, because I honor and respect her.
Just not to anyone ever.
No.
And he's like, I go to bed thinking she's the greatest girl.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I've ever met.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to understand how to make her happy because she is beautiful inside and out. Oh, this whole speech.
It's gobbledygook. He never once says, like, I love her or I can't wait. He's like, I want to learn how to understand her in order to treat her in the way in which she deserves to be treated.
Like, yeah, what? He like Googled some like Ray Dunn artwork from Home Goods and he was like, bless this mess. And it is so fake.
Yeah.
Like everything that he's saying, and he keeps calling her a girl. Yep. You know how that fucking bugs me.
Yeah, it's gross. So then over dinner, he's asking how the parents met, and they also had an arranged marriage, and they had a half an hour to talk before they got married.
Honestly, that's probably better. Less talking is probably better.
And the dad says, we got married on December 7th, 1986 at 7:52. Like, they are so in love, this couple. And then Mama Gayatri starts crying about how he has taken care of her all these years and that she's never really even said that to him before, how much she appreciates him. She's gushing about how much she loves him.
Knowing my luck with an arranged marriage, I would get, oh man, I don't know. I would just get fucked and not in a good way. I just know it. It would never work out for me.
No, no.
I'd get some fucking mouth breather jabroni with hairy toes.
Yeah. You'd end up with like a Shane.
Yeah, I probably would.
I can't even think about it. So in confessional, Shake is clearly still trying to talk himself and everybody into this whole entire thing. He's like, Deep Dee's family is the kind of family that I would love to be with. Whatever. So now we're with Kyle and Shayna. They're taking a walk by the river. Probably the same exact walk that we saw Nick and Danielle take.
Yeah, I'm just like, jump in. One of you, jump in. Please, end it. Please. Just distract us.
He's like, oh, your parents are so nice. Your mom is so sweet. Now I understand why you're so sweet. What?
What planet is he on?
He's on Keebler Elf planet. He's like, so did you guys talk shit about me after you left?
He says the most DeLulu things. Mm-hmm. He says, what did your family think of me? What do you think they thought of you, bro?
Yeah.
What would be your best guess as to the looks that they were all giving you, the questions they were asking you if you prayed, asking where you were January 6th and why you weren't hanging with them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you know what I think? And I was like, that you should break up. And he's like, we should move in together.
Yep.
Did you go to the Bad Decisions store? And did you have a coupon?
He has spent so many years in that tree that he has no brain anymore. He's been gas poisoned.
Yeah, yeah.
So she's like, yeah, cool. We're going to break up because of Jesus. And she needs a man who's going to spiritually lead her. And then I vomited all over my computer, so I wasn't able to watch the rest of the show.
Babe. So you want a spiritual leader. So was Shane, what are you wearing over there, gonna be your spiritual leader while he was popping your pussy five times a day? Is that what we're talking? Come on.
Yeah. So here's the thing about Kyle. Listen, I don't believe in God, okay? But I can understand that some people are religious enough that they're like, Jesus is the most important thing. I understand that. He cannot put it anywhere in his frame of consciousness that that might be important to her. He does not understand.
Mm-hmm.
He is completely blindsided by all of this. He doesn't understand.
Well, he's like, I never thought that would be a deal breaker.
Why is it? That's a big deal?
It's not a big deal. And he's like, you've been lying. You're not even willing to try. Babe, she's not even hugged you straight on. She has not put her chest to your chest. They haven't have had sex.
No.
Right?
And she has brought up Jesus at every moment that she possibly could. Like, I don't know where he is. So they break up. And then in confessional, she's basically like, I just want Shane's spiritual D and my spiritual V.
Well, it's so funny because she's like, she doesn't feel it right in her spirit. Uh-huh. Spirit is French for pussy.
Uh-huh.
And she says, in one moment, this is all about God. And then in the next sentence, she says, I can't stop thinking about my attraction to Shane.
Mm-hmm.
So which is it? Is it Shane or God? Because you're lusting after a man who's fucking engaged.
Which is, I believe, actually one of the seven
sins.
Deadly sins. Coveting another man's wife. I mean, look.
That's not a deadly sin. It's just sin. Like, greed, lust is a deadly sin.
Okay, well, that's...
There was a very helpful movie with Brad Pitt and Kevin Spacey, if you wanted to check it out. It just kind of, like, it ballparks it for you really well.
What's in the box?
Yeah, what's in the box?
Kevin Spacey?
Yeah.
Is in Seven?
Yeah.
He is?
Her pretty little head. That's Kevin Spacey.
Oh, wow. Yucky.
What's in the box?
What's in the box?
Oh, what's in the box?
It's like you're sitting here proclaiming Jesus's righteous name and that he's the center of your life mm-hmm. when all you want to do is sit on Shane's face.
That's it.
Which is fine. Go sit on Shane's face.
Fine, but don't fucking gaslight Kyle that it's all about Jesus.
Yeah, because it's not about Jesus, and Jesus is perfectly fine with face sitting.
He loves it.
I just think it's funny that Kyle can't find anywhere to sit.
No.
So he crouches down like he's at a long... Have you ever pooped in a long drop?
Oh, like a hole in the ground?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Sure, sure.
It's like he's pooping in a long drop. I was like, there wasn't a bench anywhere.
No.
A folding, nothing. No. Like he literally was like, I have to relieve my legs and the only place I can do it is right here in a crouching tiger, hidden Kyle kind of way.
And now on the wrong side of 40, I can tell you there's not much that's going to get me to crouch down like that.
No.
That's not ever a comfortable position. So now we're at Nick and Danielle's corporate apartment thing. And she walks in her gym clothes. He's cleaning the apartment. And he's like, hello? And she's like, yeah, what? Like, they didn't just have this epic fucking fight. So they sit down and he's like, you know, yesterday was great until it got completely derailed.
Can I just say one thing?
Yeah, please.
They're in like two separate apartments. It was like two apartments opened the middle doors and they were like, hey, there was furniture in between. There was lighting fixtures uh-huh. blocking my vantage point. They were in separate residences.
Uh-huh.
Did you notice how far apart they were?
Yeah.
Hey, listen. I got a wonky ear. You got to speak up.
I mean, I think the thing is, though, that Nick is kind of like, can we talk? And she's like, what?
It was so weird.
What? What happened?
I have never seen people talk farther away.
Except for Gigi and what's his face talking from separate rooms.
Separate rooms. Or have you ever been like across the street from someone? You're like, hey,
yeah,
I'm just going to run in here.
Yeah.
But it's half charades.
Yeah.
Because you're yelling across the street.
Or you like see somebody on the opposite subway track.
Oh, I'm running.
Yeah.
I'm running. Love you. Love you. Love you. Love you.
She's like, we both said things that escalated the situation. Well, I mean, he reminds her that she called him a narcissist. And she's like, well, you said the whole world revolves around me.
What he said actually was very fair. It's mm-hmm. sort of what I say to Lola sometimes mm-hmm. because everything did come back. And he actually gently was like, you know, the world doesn't revolve. Like, mm-hmm. I have said that to Lola
mm-hmm.
and I don't take it back.
Yeah, no. But he says, this is why I don't like arguing because I can't control what I say, which fucking same, my friend. So he's trying to explain to her that the things that were going on in the day that he met her family didn't take away from the excitement of that day. And he's expressed how much meeting her family meant to him. But he's like very gently being like, but also this other thing was happening mm-hmm. at the same time. But I still love you
mm-hmm.
so much. Please don't get more upset. So she asks him how she cannot act like the world revolves around her. Easily, just don't.
Mm-hmm.
The thought of you being upset at all is terrible. The thought of me being the reason that you're upset is even worse. And so I was like mad at myself too. Why do I always cry? Because I love you and like the thought of me being the reason that you're not happy kills me.
God.
I know. I just feel like you are always there for me when I'm feeling emotional. And you always make me feel 10 times better when I'm going through stuff. So to know that you go through stuff that I wasn't able to help you through, you know, that hurts me. And like, again, I understand that you don't communicate your emotions as much as I do. But I want you to because I want to be there for you like you are me, you know? Because it means so much to me that you are there for me all the time. I will be
the light. In confessional, she says she loves him so much, but she's realizing that their communication style is very different and that's causing arguments. No, you are causing the arguments.
Yeah, you're not communicating. You're just freaking the fuck out.
Mm-mm.
That's not communicating. That's just freaking the fuck out.
Yeah, she never says, I'm sorry, I accused you of not loving me because you happened to have something else going on the day that we met. She doesn't say anything. And then she cries and she makes it more about her. It's bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's 15 days to the wedding and we're going to have an all swim date.
And we're talking everybody is here. There's a man named Haseeb. I never seen this man before. I do not remember him. There were two white women. I was like, you were there?
Who are you?
I don't know who any of these people are. But they're all walking in, and this is where we learned that Shayna paid Natalie a ringy dingy. Was talking to Natalie, asking about their life, and then casually said, I have someone to hook you up with if it doesn't work out with Shane.
First of all, Natalie's like, yeah, we were just having girl talk. Like, why? Shayna should not have called you. This is duplicitous to fucking begin with. But then, yeah, then she says that. So Shane and Natalie, Shane's like, why are you looking at me funny? And she's like, I'm not. And he's like, you know, your eyes say a lot more than your words do, right? And Nick's like, I agree. Like, what's going on?
Listen, Nick is going to be our saving grace again because he's going to be here for the tea. Nick. You know, he loves. Now, I'm not one to gossip. Yes, you are, Nick. And that's why we love you.
Nick loves a tea party. So she's like, we have so much fun together. We stay up all night talking. And Nick's like, oh, cool. What do you talk about? And she's like, well, I'm not talking about it.
Because again, they don't stay up all night talking. They stay up all night fuking.
Right. But also like, okay, you brought it up. So then we have another classic Shane Natalie moment where he's like, is everything okay? And she looks like she wants to fucking murder
him. She hurts him. Hurts him bad, I think. She's little but mighty.
She really is. So Natalie is definitely being weird. And Nick starts gossiping to the camera like, Natalie's fucking weird.
Yeah.
So then Nick and Shayna meet. And apparently we found out they were besties in the pods.
Did you notice what Shayna was wearing?
A hat and
a crop top.
She was?
She was wearing a crop top.
By the time I noticed, she was wearing like a big fleece, a big oversized fleece. So I guess I missed the crop top. But that
she was in a crop top. Yeah. They have a little kiki because Shayna did not follow her gut. Uh-uh. And now she is suffering.
Yeah. And she took a back seat because Natalie was so loud about how much Shane loved her. That's not how it went. But okay.
No, it's really not. But listen, Nick is here for it. Uh-huh. Nick's going to hear all sides. He's going to analyze and then he's going to tell the camera. That's why he's here. So Nick is taking it all in.
Shane is like, what did they talk about? Why are you asking Nick what they fucking talk about? But then Nick says that he was trying to ask him that and that Natalie looked at Shane like she was going to cut his throat is the words that Nick uses.
Don't test her. She will cut a bitch.
So then Shane is like, oh my God, they're coming. This is so awkward. No, it's not. They are a couple and they're holding hands. That's what couples do. You're the one that's making this awkward.
Totally.
You are the one. But we also have to say that Nick tells us in confessional, he really can't wait to see how this all unfolds. He says,
I'd buy it on pay-per-view.
Yeah. I mean, we are, basically. We do. We pay for Netflix. This. I mean, I don't pay for Netflix. My mom does because I'm a fucking grown-up.
And the password is password.
And my dead stepdad's profile is still on there. It's creepy every time I see it.
Oh, that's weird. So Shayna tells us in confessional that this is so hard for her to watch all the couples go through the process of planning their weddings because it should have been her and Shane planning their wedding if Natalie hadn't been such a cunt and had feelings for Shane. So they finally meet face to face.
And she's wearing a basic bitch hat. Uh-huh. I'm not making fun. I have 100 of them.
Yeah.
But she's like, oh, like my cowboy hat?
Oh, you like my cowboy hat?
That's a best like bitch hat from Target. So they go and sit down and talk. And he's like, how are you and Kyle? She's like, we broke up. He wasn't the one. And then she just squints her eyes.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't the one. Ugh.
And then she's like, I like your clone. I like your shirt. I like your penis. I like all the things about you.
And I have to give it to Shane because he does not let a lot of time pass before he was like, so you're trying to find Natalie a guy?
Yeah.
And then Shayna says, who told you? As if she told Natalie a secret and Natalie's loyalties lie with this fucking cunt as opposed to her fiance. Who told you?
Who told you?
Obviously, Natalie, you daft fucking cow.
Okay, so explain what she said.
Yeah, so she said that if me and her don't get along, you have a guy or like whatever, that finds her attractive or whatever it is.
So it was completely taken out of context.
Sure.
And I would love, if you want me to talk to Natalie, I would talk to Natalie and call her out because this is the honest
truth. I don't want anyone to call anyone out, to be honest with you, though.
Okay, but I'm going to be honest with you. I did say those things. So listen, we get back to Chicago. Me and Natalie in our private conversation, I go, well, if he doesn't work out, I got a friend for you. Okay? It was joking around. And I said something stupid, which looking back on it, I shouldn't have said it. And I'm so sorry because, again, I was with Kyle. Like, I have no vendetta against you and Natalie. This has nothing to do with me or you or what happened of us in the pods dating. I don't understand why she took that and threw it out of context and ran with it.
I don't know if you guys are bored in your relationship, that you guys had to like throw me in there.
I don't know. Like, listen, like, I'm only going off what I heard.
No, you're her fiance, shouldn't you know?
But here's the deal.
Shouldn't you know her character?
I didn't even know this. I didn't know this even happened.
You guys don't talk about it?
You
don't think it's a red flag?
That we don't talk about you, like us, they're here. Like, what do you mean, I guess?
If that was my fiance, I'd be like, yo, you like this bitch or what?
Your fiance told you that I said that? Like, I don't even understand. Like, why would she even tell you that? It was taken out of context. Like, okay. So, okay, I did say to her, like, if it doesn't work out, like, I have this other, but okay. Like, I was kidding. Like, whatever.
She completely flip turns this around. She was like, I mean, you took it out of context. I do not think that word means what you think it means.
No.
It was not taken out of context.
No.
He said it, and then you repeated it verbatim.
Yeah.
You said the same thing he did. There was no context.
And also, there's no context in which that would have been appropriate. There is no context in which that would have been appropriate.
If someone takes something out of context, this is my favorite example of taking something out of context from my cousin Vinny. He's like, you shot the clerk. He goes, I shot the clerk.
I shot the clerk?
I shot the clerk.
I shot the clerk.
And they read it in court and they say, I shot the clerk. I shot the clerk. That is taking something out of context.
Mm-hmm.
Repeating you being a shady ass bitch is just repeating you being a shady ass bitch and you getting caught for your actions and you not wanting to face the consequences to those actions.
This woman is so fucking toxic. So she gives this monologue about like, oh, so you don't know your fiance? Like, you don't even know your fiance, like, at all.
Are you guys so bored? Oh, my God, you're obsessed with me? Oh, my God, you're obsessed with me.
She says relationship and gives some air quotes.
So, listen. This is the honest to God truth, okay? Like, I don't know. I could say some things right now. I'm not going to say anything.
Why don't you want to say it? You said you have nothing to lose. Why don't I say it then?
I want nothing but the best for you. I have nothing but love for you, okay? Mm-hmm. I don't want to see you hurt. I care about you, and I don't want to put you guys in your guys' relationship in that light.
Wait, now you give the quotes. What's going on here?
Nothing.
You were all gung-ho about talking now. Now you don't want to talk?
I feel like I'm being portrayed as a certain like villain in your guys' relationship, your guys' fucking fake-ass relationship. No offense, because it is a fake-ass relationship.
You think everyone, ours is fake?
It is such a joke. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings, but I'm just being real.
Why would you think that?
You guys are, okay.
I'll say this
to anybody's face. It comes back down to like our compatibility. You and Natalie's relationship, I'm like, if you guys think you guys are compatible, that is comical.
Why are you guys obsessed with me? Don't you seem obsessed with me?
Oh my God, your relationship is boring and you're like obsessed with me and like, I don't even understand. And she calls their relationship a fake ass relationship.
She said she's being played as the villain in your fake ass relationship. No, babe.
No.
You are acting the villain.
You have inserted yourself at every point in this.
Yeah.
You have made yourself the villain.
Honestly, I would take 3¾ Jessicas over 1 Shayna at this point.
And I can't believe that Shane even sits there and lets her do this.
I think he's like railroaded.
Yes.
I would be too. I'd be like, it doesn't feel real.
I know.
He's not of a strong enough mind or wit. I feel like he is like gobsmacked.
Yeah. This is the most inappropriate monologue I think we've had on this show so far.
This is worse than anything Jessica ever did. Because Shayna is smart. Jessica's a fucking idiot.
Yeah.
She went from like, I'm sorry you feel like that way about you guys are fucking lame with your fake ass. Like, she turned that boat around and she somehow tried to make herself the victim. It was a good try though.
Shayna, Jessica, and Chelsea, I would imagine, I mean, I guess I am kind of blonde, but they really are doing a disservice to blonde women. They have set blonde women
Anastasia.
Saha. They have set blonde women back decades.
Yeah. And that woman who like thought she had a lot of Instagram followers. But anyway, we're going to pick back up at this fight. She is awful.
She's awful.
This show, I think our Mandela effect was that this whole season, Shake was awful.
Yeah.
And while that remains true, I feel like we massively overlooked, or maybe we just like collectively didn't remember because we were in like an edible and a red wine haze because we were still in the pandemic. We forgot that all of these other people were so awful.
Including Kyle.
Yeah. Honestly, I'm only walking away with feelings for Deep D.
Yeah.
And even now I kind of am like, but he was an idiot, You know that,
and
right?
And Ayana.
No, you settled for second choice. Anyway.
That's true. That is true. I have never seen the reunion, and people keep saying that Shane at the reunion is seared into their heads. I've never seen the reunion of this.
Can't wait. I have to go pick up my daughter from school because she just tried to call out hot. Yeah. So what I'm going to need from you is a couple things. Mm-hmm. Adopt her and shut the fuck up about it.
That's going to be a no from me, dog, and also a no from me, dog.
You're not going to shut the fuck up after I just asked you.
No, never. Not once, not never. Listen, why don't you go pick up your daughter with your fake ass relationship with your daughter?
Listen, Monty might look like you. I've never seen a DNA test. I took a DNA test.
Turns out.
I'm 100% shut the fuck up. Love you.
You shut the fuck up. Listen to our other podcast. Subscribe. I don't care.
Yeah, do the whatever. What do you care? Do whatever you want. It's a free fucking country.
Do us a favor and visit our fucking sponsors with our code so that we don't have to do free fucking ads for them later on. Thanks. Love you. Bye.
I vet the shit out of our fucking sponsors. They're all good. So fuck off.